Hello, everyone. My name is James Ross Kiefer. I'm the editor-in-chief at Carolinian, and today we're going to be looking at the new tax bill. And just as a timing notice, we recorded this at around 1 o'clock on Tuesday, November 28th. So I'm here with Chris Funches, a staff writer in the news section.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So Chris, in the news recently, we've seen a lot of flutter about a new tax bill currently going through Congress. So is this Donald Trump's tax bill? Is this the Republican tax bill? Whose tax bill is this?
Yeah, so the reason it's been in the news so often is Republicans are really looking for a victory on the national level. The failure to repeal Obamacare dragged on for months, and they really need just a public win for morale. Now, I don't think I'd call it Donald Trump's tax bill or the White House's tax bill, because you do need to remember both the House and the Senate kind of work on their own bill simultaneously, and then when it's finally ready to be passed, they kind of iron out the differences, and that's when it actually hits a president's desk. So being a Republican in the White House and the Republican in both houses, there certainly are a lot of similarities, but they are different bills right now.
Chris, what are some new components of this tax bill?
That's really one of the hardest questions to ask. The House tax bill passed on November 16th, so that's more or less done. Now, the main one in the news currently is the Senate bill. The Republicans control a 52-48 majority and can functionally lose two votes. You can have a tiebreaker vote, 50-50. If it's a 50-50 tie, Vice President Mike Pence can come in and break the tie. And Senator Ron Johnson from Wisconsin has already announced that he wouldn't support the bill. So they've already lost one of their two votes. You've also got to factor in people like Rand Paul, Lisa Murkowski, Bob Corker of Tennessee, and Jeff Flake, and John McCain, that all really dislike the president. Now, the Senate bill is kind of interesting because they have done a permanent corporate tax cut to 20%. They have sunsetted the personal income tax after a certain amount of time. That's still kind of up in the air. And so what's going to happen is the corporate tax cuts are permanent. The individual household income taxes are going to disappear. They've also do not have room for state and local tax deduction, a very popular tax deduction, which many Republicans in high tax states are deeply opposed to.
So who's looking to benefit from this new tax plan?
Certainly big corporations and possibly even states are looking for investment from the corporate sector. The White House has come out and said that corporate tax cuts can benefit the middle class in terms of salary increases anywhere between $4,000 and $9,000. Now, that's very dubious. I think that is, most people would agree that's very optimistic. Could it benefit the middle class? I don't think it's going to hurt the middle class. I think the main question with the corporate tax cuts is how is it going to affect revenue? Most of the tax gains from this tax from these tax reform acts are going to go to corporations. Their tax liability is going to shrink about $1 trillion over the next decade. So they're definitely going to win. I think it's going to be a net neutral for everyone else, maybe a net loss.
Okay, and looking at income taxes?
So I definitely think they are really trying to revamp this tax code and reform it pretty significantly. So one of the things that we're seeing that are very unpopular in the Senate bill are they're getting rid of things like mortgage interest deduction and state and local tax deduction, the latter of which is very popular, and it helps offset the cost of living in a lot of very high tax states. So think of something like California, New York, New Jersey. If these tax filers are not able to kind of deduct those taxes they pay, then either these states are going to become unaffordable, or the states are going to have to find new sources of revenue. And so one of the ways that they're doing that is doubling the standard deduction that tax filers can claim. And so what that is it's the first $6,000 or the first $12,000 for an individual or a joint filer, respectively, under the current tax code, are tax-free. And then on that $6,301, you'll actually start paying for federal income tax. Under this bill, they're actually going to double it. So it's going to be about $12,000 and $24,000, respectively. The goal of that is to offset the burden of many of these popular deductions. Now, I think one of the other very interesting things is they're repealing the alternative minimum tax. So what the alternative minimum tax is an additional tax that filers that itemize pay. And so these are people that claim the deductions like state and local tax, mortgage and interest, charitable contributions to help reduce their tax burden. Getting rid of that, I think, will definitely have some serious revenue implications. We're talking about $20 billion, $25 billion a year in tax revenue gain, but it could help a lot of people, particularly in higher tax states.
So does it really make sense that Congress wants to double the standard deduction and repeal AMT?
In my opinion, no. It's one of the most coy giveaways to the wealthiest Americans in this tax code. So coy that I don't think many in the media have picked up on it. So the implication of doubling the standard deduction is that people are not there. Less and less people are actually going to itemize in their taxes. Because if you think about your family, does your family have $24,000 worth of expenses that they can itemize? This is between state and local tax, mortgage, charitable contributions, yada, yada, yada. Odds are no. And so whenever your standard deduction is more than your itemized expenses that you can deduct in your taxes, it just makes rational sense to use your standard deduction. So when you factor in, more and more Americans are actually going to use a standard deduction now that's been doubled. And that even right now, less than a quarter of Americans actually itemize. They just claim standard deduction. It really doesn't make a lot of sense to repeal the alternative minimum tax. It really, the only people that are going to pay it are the wealthiest, wealthiest, wealthiest Americans. And it's just a, to me, it's a very cynical giveaway to the rich that people are not noticing. They're caught up in the reduction in rates. They're caught up in state and local income tax. These things are newsworthy, definitely. But doing both, doubling the standard deduction, which will increase the people that use it, and repealing the AMT, which even less and less people will hit, just frankly, the wealthiest 10% in this country. It's an imperceptible but big giveaway to the wealthiest tax filers.
So I guess the real question is, do you think that this bill has a possibility of passing?
I think that ultimately there is going to be tax reform. I don't know if it's going to pass this year. I would probably doubt it. I think there's less than 10 days left in Congress when you factor in winter break and everything like that. I will say they're going to feel the pressure to pass something very soon. They only have a guaranteed Republican majority for about another year. And so I think when their backs are up against the wall, something will get passed through Congress and end up on the president's desk. They just really cannot afford not to. There have been reports that the big Republican fundraisers and the people that stroke the checks will no longer support incumbents if they cannot pass tax legislation. So that's something that's kind of on the ground that needs to be factored in. At some point, there is going to be the pressure to pass something. I think ultimately tax reform is number one on that list.
Chris, thank you so much for stopping by.
Hey, thanks for having me. I mean, really, any day is a great day to talk about tax reform.